What's Up Food Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up Food Podcast with Felipe Esparza and the co-host with the most and toast, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man. Where's that butter at?
Rodrigo Torres, man, with the voice of steel. The mannerism of mannerisms. The Krakatoa of Krakatoa. The volcano of all volcanoes. Rodrigo Torres. Don't you hate that, man, when people you don't even know give you these long details about your name that has nothing to do with you?
Hell yeah, dog.
And you go to a radio station like in El Paso. Hey, Rodrigo Torres, the terrorizer, the comedian. You got jokes for us this morning, don't you?
Who are you guys talking about?
I don't know. Who you talking about?
I don't know this man.
I remember doing a radio station, and this guy was like, you know, like, you could tell he'd been in the radio for a long time, and he kept throwing in a restaurant without even getting permission from the radio station. Everything, bro. Felipe, you like margaritas? This is a fine place. I eat margaritas at. Bro, enough with the margaritas. I'm here to promote a show. What's up, fool? Let's get to the upcoming shows. We have a big show today. Two big guys on it. Me and him. This weekend, my HBO special, Translate This, is premiering at 10 p.m. We are having the premiere party here in L.A. 50 listeners are going to be watching it with me. 50 listeners. Next week, October 6th and 7th, Rodrigo and I and Toby Hicks are going to Nashville, Tennessee. October 8th, Stand Up Live in Huntsville, Alabama. That's right. They're going to give us a ride. October 12th through the 14th. Rodrigo, I hope you got your passport, dog.
Ready,
I hope you're ready, dog.
Ready, ready.
I hope you're bringing those edibles. Maybe not. We'll find some there. October 12th through the 14th, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, at the Comic Strip. If you want to bring some Yaman shirts, go ahead and bring them.
Perfect.
I heard they buy merch over there. We never know, bro. You're going to come home with Canadian dollars.
The Queens.
October 20th, San Diego at Humphreys by the Bay. October 21st, the next day, Reno, Nevada at Silver Legacy Casino. I love this casino. I could talk about this casino all day. The only reason I like this casino is because this is the casino that they filmed that movie Kingpin in, where Woody Harrelson was taking on Bill Murray in Kingpin, Mr. McCracken.
Bowling?
In bowling. And when I went over there, the first time when I opened up for Paul Rodriguez, I really thought that they had a baked potato buffet, bro. How fucking stupid, dog.
Hey, you never did look so good. It seemed real.
The guy from...
Are you serious?
The fat guy from that band, the Blues Travelers, he sings that song, then he goes, yeah, don't forget to travel the Silver-Legged Casino, known for the biggest potato buffet, hash potato buffet.
Oh, my God, dude.
So, I did go there, man, and the Silver Legacy Casino does have, right next door in the casino, there's a big, big bowling alley where they have bowling.
Did they film it there or not?
They filmed it there.
Oh, tight, dude.
So, man, I don't know if we're going to have time to get a bowling in there, but we'll try it. And also, don't forget All Things Comedy Podcast Festival. I will be there October 26th, Phoenix, Arizona. One show only, October 26th. We're going to do a live podcast show. Rodrigo and I, we still don't know who's going to be the guest, but we'll find somebody. Check out FelipeSworld.com/tour for all the show dates the rest of the year. Shout outs, ASAP Dash, the Charro from Oxnard, Ramiro Cortez, who's out there driving around for work all day, AD19, who's been listening since the second episode, Mr. Nervous, keep it 100, Sugar Booger 2488, another truck driver listener who listens during his nighttime drives on his way to pick up hookers.
Dedicated.
Mike Mikkel, phone 099. Mike iPhone 0990 from Santana. Natalie from Oxnard. Ours is the first podcast she ever listened to, and her 2-year-old is always listening with her, trying to say, what's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Ice Cups, who says we're awesome? And it's the best podcast out there. I love Ice Cups. Dolo Mike, Dolo-Mike, who started listening since we started. he calls us Batman and Rodman. That'll be our next podcast, Batman and Rodman.
It's tight, man.
That'll be a good act. Cause I'm working on a bit. I call it, yeah, man. I'm going to start my own superhero, Chicano Batman. Come on, Ruben. Let's go. Chicano Batman and Ruben. Holy immigration, Batman. To the Bat apartment.
Little light comes on.
Little see. Light. Also, Bone, Bonnie, B-O-N-N-E, who wants us to know that you don't have to be Latino to love this podcast. She's not, or he's not. Not sure if it's a woman or man. Tomapiba 5, who listens and talks to us on Instagram all the time.
Oh,
Steven,
yeah.
76, who works overnight at a grocery store and is always looking for more podcasts to listen to. He says, George Perez was never on Rogan. Then, then he never would have listened to George's podcast and never would have heard me as George's guest and never would have listened to our show.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, Steven76. You know what's up. Okay, here's the other food I got to read real fast. Burqueño por vida, Rocket Pockets, the guy who wants diamonds. Razo 1189, Nate in LA, Trexiology, Rich by Rod. Pancho 562, Ray Ramon, Tony Illuminati, Club Get Right, Dean RRR, Carlitos Way, I know that fool, El Chingus, Chingus, thank you for all your reviews. We were 56th on iTunes Top 200 podcast today because you guys keep it 100. So let's not slack off. Let's not slack off. Just give with number 56 right now. And everybody who's listening for the first time, thank you very much. Hopefully you'll catch up one day. We have 168 already.
Episodes.
How many do you have on Yeah Man?
30.
Wow. That's every week. You've been doing it for 30 weeks?
No, it hasn't been every week, dude. It's been spotty the last month since Edwin's.
You've been busy, huh?
Dude, I haven't had time for shit. Dude, I haven't even got a haircut, dog.
Yeah, man.
Over here looking like the wolf, man.
Your hat, man. Your head looks like you took a helmet off, bro.
Dude, my hair grows fast, dog.
Your hair grows like a baby. Yeah, how would you pound when people show their newborn and their baby hair is long? Like, looking like a little chimpanzee, bro.
You're a little Hessian, huh? Little headbanger, dog.
Hello, this kid already has a man bun.
Where's that rubber band, daddy? Hey, fool, you see those babies that never grow hair, dog?
I know, man.
Or they have that mad bald spot?
Dean Del Rey babies. Oh, they have already caspa, bro.
Caspa?
I know babies are born with dandruff, bro. Motherfucker already needs baby shampoo.
Get him some Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, man. Some little baby be dusty, bro. Like, looking like, well, I don't know, man. Some the babies with the longest black hair always look suspect, bro.
A little John Redcorn baby, huh?
He's dark ass hair, man. Dark. What kind of dog you talking about, bro? Hair dye dark.
Hell yeah, man.
What's up, fool, man? Like, always, people were asking about you, bro. Ish.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, the last time we seen him was on the way to what? Victoria? One of those ones where he got a rental car. Yeah, dude. He hooked it up that sack. Remember we
that was fun, man. Oh, there were some people there who drove from Victoria to the show.
Are you serious? How far is Victoria from Houston?
2 hours. Remember we drove?
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Victoria, Victoria looked like awesome. Very southern, huh?
Yeah, dude. And Victoria is one of those towns kind of like fucking Corpus Christi, still out there in the sticks, though.
Man, I couldn't sleep over there, so I saw a bunch of documentaries in my sleep, bro. I saw one on PBS about all the Chicano movements.
Back like, in the day, yeah, like Ruben Salazar and shit?
Ruben Salazar, Cesar Chavez. Not only that, but there was other ones, bro. Like in San Antonio, they had their own thing going.
Yeah, dude.
In San Francisco, they had their own thing going.
Shit was cracking, dog.
And in Chicago, all the San Antonio, Chicago, up north. By Portland somewhere, and then San Francisco, and LA, bro. And they were all Chicano movements. you know, Mexican American movements, but there was no solidarity, bro. They were not all in teams. They didn't get along. They were all in different groups. They were just working for San Antonio.
Chi-Town, huh? Chicago had theirs going
and,
on.
And this, what I tripped out on, like, I didn't, like, it's funny, like, when you find out stuff that happened in the past that you had no idea, because nobody teaches you Mexican American history. But Cesar Chavez, man, they called him CC back then.
Yeah, dude, that was
he just came out of the Navy, and he went to a movie theater in Delano, and it was segregated. Fool, I didn't know California was segregated.
Well, you couldn't even buy a house in certain areas, dog.
I didn't know that, right?
Yeah, dude, housing restrictions, dog.
So the way the movie theater worked was white people sat in the middle of the theater, and then Mexicans sat and blacks sat on the side. But I don't even know if blacks were invited in, but they said Mexicans sat on the side. So when that fool came out of the Navy, he was like a war hero. He goes, hey, you know what? I paid my dues to the country. I could say whatever I want. And that fool sat in the middle, and nobody took him to court. There was no lawsuit. He didn't get arrested. And then everybody spread the word. Yeah, man, CC sat in the middle. So the next day, everybody sat in the middle with white people, and we're all sitting together, and nobody said shit.
Yeah, dude.
So he desegregated the movie theaters, and that was all good.
Trippy how that shit works, though, dog.
And then, dude, I didn't know that his wife, Dolores Huerta,
is a friend of his, no?
Showed up with six kids.
Yeah, dude, she's fucking hardcore. She's still around, dog.
Yeah, man. And together, him and her, they started the protesting the migrant workers. But it was a tough protest because, you know, migrant work is seasonal. So one, it doesn't even last that long, you know?
Take off somewhere else.
And I didn't know this, man, but at the same time when they were trying to protest, they were bringing in Mexicans from Mexico.
Scabs.
Wetbacks. Braceros.
Redliners.
To mess up their protest.
Break their union.
And people don't talk about this, but Cesar Chavez had no love for those fools.
It wasn't for those guys.
It wasn't for those guys. And he was all about union for Mexican American.
With papers. Yeah.
Not the ones that are here illegally, bro. He wanted those guys were messing it up.
Yeah, but later it became about them too. But I mean, in the beginning, it was their rights, dude, because they had little dog. They were spraying pesticides on them.
They had nothing, bro. They had no schools. They had no bad schools while the farmer was making all that money. And it wasn't until Robert F. Kennedy came in and he was talking to one of the sheriffs.
He needed the votes.
And he was asking him, going, so you arrested? You arrested these people without no crimes? Well, we heard there was going to be rioting. Well, you heard there was going to be rioting, but were there any riots? No. So you just arrest them under a fake law. And they were telling all kinds of bad. White people don't want to hear it, bro.
Well,
from young white people.
Well, he was an attorney general, dog, under his brother's reign.
He fucking, he got them good, bro. And then the strike, it helped out to unify their little strike, man. But there were some other people, man, like from San Antonio. And then the National Casa de la Raza was started. We have too many National Casa de la Raza, too many other ones, but we should all just be one.
Yeah, dude. I mean, but everywhere is different. And then back in the day, there wasn't social media, so they couldn't communicate as fast as they do now, dog. Back then, they were sending telegrams.
Then I saw that when one of the guys that was working with Cesar Chavez, he wanted to learn more in his classroom. A lot of Mexican Americans, they were not offered the classes that were offered in other neighborhoods that were out of the city. You know, like maybe right here where I live, Granada Hills High School, they probably had more education than Roosevelt High School.
Oh yeah,
like my high school in Roosevelt, we still had wood shop, bro. We still had metal shop, like welding, like. If you ask any parent right now who's 49, 47, 38, 29, if you ask them, Dad, if their kids would have come home and said, Dad, today we learned how to weld and we were like using a pressure cooker, you're probably, man, you're not going to take that fucking class. You're going to burn yourself. I was taking these classes. Nobody gave a fuck.
Oh, dude, I remember the guy that was a woodshop teacher was missing a hand, dog.
Mr. Tall.
But, dude, all those movements was because they have Chicano studies now in
school. Yeah, I didn't even know that. So
but that's resources, fool.
So when that teacher from Belmont High School, he organized a walkout. Man, they show the Latino student getting beat up by the cops. And then in the bottom, is the narrator was saying, getting beat up because they want an education.
Well, dude, it's like in Granada Hills, they have chemistry classes. Over here, they don't. I mean, battle the resources. But in large, the state of California education has been fucking put on the back burner. But then, like, the ones in, they say, urban neighborhoods or whatever are even less funded, dog. You know what I mean?
Less funded.
It sucks, dude. But, I mean, it's because of all those dudes in San Antonio. That guy Julian Castro, his mom, and all those people, they were part of those, like, fucking migrant movements and early political movements. You got involved. That's why you have, like, the Latino American Lawyers Association. Now, all those things sprung out from that shit, dude.
The Latino Lawyer Association, the Latino one, is huge, bro. I've done a lot of fundraisers for them over my lifetime as a comedian.
To get involved, dude.
They've always flew me out to Washington, D.C. And also, man, there's a place called the National Council La Raza, NCLR. And I've done many shows with them. And then LULAC.
Yeah.
LULAC is another one. Latino, what's it called?
Latino...
United, whatever. It's called LULAC. It's a funny joke, but it's a true story. Paul Rodriguez was doing an interview, and he said, man, LULAC and National Council of Raza, the only time they got together to work in unity was to get rid of the Pollo Loco dog.
Yeah, well, didn't they? Supposedly one of the reasons his first show got canceled because they were complaining there was too many Hispanics in one house, dog.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit with that shit, but see, too,
that goes to show you, man. Well, on one thing, they're good if you want to get an education, but once they start getting into film and telling us how to represent our own people, come on, man.
Dude, you don't need all that shit.
We don't need a place like them to telling us that there's too many Mexicans in one television show.
Oh, fuck all that. Just get us on TV.
So that's what. So those people are the ones that got Paul Rodriguez show off the air. They were complaining. They complained that Freddie Prinze wasn't Mexican, bro.
Well, that too, dog. So a lot of fucking convoluted bullshit, but it's a League of United Latin American Citizens.
League of United Latin Citizens.
American citizens.
So anybody out there, man, listening, if you have a kid or a daughter who's very smart and goes to school, they recruit kids out of high school to become lawyers and future politicians of our United States. And they really back you up. Like if I have a nephew or a niece that wants to get into politics, they will really guide your career. Like, follow your education, follow you to university, and then one day land you a job working for somebody. And you get to be a senator and relax and work for 50 years and never do nothing.
That's a problem. Too many fools out there relaxing. But, dude, you don't even need to do all that. Dude, because those organizations are so big that they fucking, now they have their chosen few. I mean, with social media and all that shit, you can do all that shit yourself now. And all the fucking education starts in the fucking home anyways, dude.
I want to sound like I'm helping people.
Oh, fuck you. Dude, just by being on the telly, mate, you're helping people, dog. All that shit helps. Even Los Tigres del Norte, when those fools started getting big and big, they started seeing a lot of Mexican people that not necessarily fucking American citizens or Mexican Americans going to big ass concerts and selling big ass halls and big ass venues. Dude, those motherfuckers, dude, are responsible for all that shit too, dog. It's all uplift comes in various fucking sources, dog. Not just by one fool, everything. You help all that shit. Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez.
Órale.
Good fuck with anybody.
No,
yeah, man.
Yeah, man. What's up, fool? What you do last week, man?
Last week, what the fuck? Oh, I had to say a show with Flaco and them on Friday.
Bro.
He survived. He didn't die.
He hold his neck at least once.
Oh, no. But you know that little fool be making me laugh. He's like, look at Flaco. He's moving the neck. He's going to get sick. Let's get out of here before we got to take him to the ER. Fucking Rizzo, dog. That was it, man. Just fucking doing that shit, dude.
Oh, man. So I donated my money, bro.
Two fat checks, no?
Two fat checks. I donated most of the proceeds of last week's show, which wasn't really my money at all because it was the people who paid to get in for the 5 sold out shows. Their money, which was supposed to come to me, I donated like $10,000 to the Houston Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And another $10,000 to the Friends for Life Animal Shelter. It's
that's
a no-kill
sign.
So this is funny, right? Before we get to the cause and all that, I never do that, by the way. I never post how much money I'm giving away to charity because none of you got business, you know? But this time I did it only because it was not my money. It was normally, like, when I donate, it's money I have in a bank already, but this money never reached the bank. It never reached me. As soon as they gave it to me, I turned it all over to the charity. So I posted it up, bro. You would think that I would get, like, and I posted it up. You would think that I would get positive stuff, like, congratulations, Flippy, you're doing a good job. No, bro. I got nothing but negative. It was like a bunch of losers saying, how about Mexico? Don't you care about Puerto Rico? Aren't you Mexican? What do you care about Houston for?
Let's take care of the States first.
And I had to write, listen, I am not Red Cross, motherfucker. What did you have? Did you give a penny? Did you give 10 cents? No. What are the... I want to know, Rodrigo, I want you to tell me right now.
What's up, fool?
What does a meme that says, I support anything, how much money does that give anybody?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. That's zero. All I got to say. Zilch. These people think just by reporting, I support DACA, you're going to be an angel, motherfucker?
Oh, dude.
Hey, man, you know what, man? A person that gives a dollar every month to a charity, it's more fucking an angel than you'll ever be, motherfucker.
And reposted a meme. Yeah, I was telling my dad that I felt bad or everything that happened in Mexico. I feel bad. Well, if you're not going to go over there and start moving rocks, then shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
I was like, damn, dog.
Right. Yeah, bro, I was thinking about it. You have family there, dog. What happened?
Dude, he said it was fucked up because 2 weeks before that, they had that shit in Chiapas that's 500 miles away. But this fool's in, the two fools that live there, they're pretty modern buildings. So nothing happened, but he said it was fucking, you can feel that shit jump. But they got homies, they have seven homies that they lost their buildings where they're at. So they were at school, so they weren't in there when that shit went down. And two of the other people were at work, but a fucking shit got demolished, dude. So they're spending the night at one of my cousin's house, and the other fool has two friends over at their pad.
Man.
But it's crazy, dude, but he's all... It's surprisingly how everybody came together, but the other shit he said is a bunch of scams, dog, and other motherfuckers dressing up like the government jacking people, dog. But social media has helped out with that, but still, there's a lot of bullshit going on.
There's a lot of scams everywhere, Rodrigo, even here in America. There's a lot of people promising that they're going to take care of somebody's house in Houston, and they don't, bro. They stick out with the money.
Oh, dude, that's fucking scandalous, dude.
And these people come in all nationalities, man, not just white, because they are white people out there robbing poor redneck people.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there's all there's Mexicans out there robbing poor immigrants. And there's African-Americans robbing poor African-Americans. It's just be smart, man. You know, man, if you need help, research everything, bro. Don't just take the first help that comes to you, man. You know, you ask around. You know, it's just like our body, man. When you have a body and the doctor says, well, you're going to need this now, and it's going to cost this much. If that was your car, you would have said, that's too much. I'm going to go to another mechanic. You could do the same thing with a fucking doctor.
Hell yeah.
You gotta treat your body like it's your car, man. If this doctor says you need this, fuck that doctor. Go to another doctor.
Second opinion, man.
Yeah, you need your leg amputated. Fuck that, man. I wanna keep my thigh.
Be walking around like two mechs, eh?
I know, man. Yeah, man, bring some Happy Meals over here.
Well, give me a little bucket, eh? But yeah, man, scammers, dude, that come in all shapes and sizes, dude, that's just human nature to be bad or good, dog.
They're scammers, bro, and it's eFundMes who are robbing people.
Dude.
And I was talking to Raymond from the Houston Improv.
Okay.
He told me straight up, man, that those houses that had like around 2 feet of water already, like the towns that were right next to the levee, he goes, the city had to make a decision. Well, these houses were already destroyed, so they had to release the water. So they release the water so the whole thing won't come out and destroy the whole city. So they just start releasing water little by little, and that's how most of those places ended up 10 feet deep.
Of water? So in order to save the whole city, they had to sacrifice a little bit.
Sacrifice the houses that were already going to fucked up.
Yeah. Because that dude's in the real estate business, yeah. Right? He knows what's up with all that stuff.
Shit was fucked up, bro.
You guys seen it? When you guys were flying in?
We're driving in. The water's dry, but okay, you know right there where we... on Katy Road, you know where we stay at?
Okay,
you know that turn that you make to go to the Improv?
Uh-huh.
That shit was all covered up.
Really, dog?
You couldn't even see that freeway, but you could see the top only. The bottom one, it was done, bro. Right there where you see those signs that say, right there by the IKEA?
Right.
Under there? Gone. Water.
Are you serious, dude?
Gone, bro. It was all fucking flooded, dude. And there was no way to bring in food. There were no ways to cars to get in. They had a curfew at midnight. You can't be walking around the city.
Straight up. Damn, dude.
It was bad, bro. There were Cubans washing up in Houston, bro.
Coño.
Yo estaba fumando tobacco y me llevó una tormenta tremenda.
A lo mejor vieron mi sobrinito, yo y Coco.
Me dejó para allá, está toda la patada.
Damn, dog. That's nuts, dude.
Nuts, bro. And and I was talking to Tommy, and he said that, no, man, everything went to a standstill. Like, he said that he was trying to call people up, and they were not even picking up their phone. There was no ring dial. But
serious?
As soon as all the water dried up, drug business went back to normal, bro. he goes. There was like a lake between these people. You know, I want to know where the fucking water go.
That's what I'm saying.
They pump it all out.
Did it dry out? Did they make fucking like what cutouts or whatever drainage spots?
Yeah, man. So people are always gonna not happy, huh? Like even if I would have put this money going to Mexico and Puerto Rico. Somebody would have wrote, how about Houston? Don't we live in America?
Oh,
nobody's ever going to be happy.
Dude, there's always going to be a bad seed in the box, dude. Always, dude. That sucks that people haven't even had to say shit. And I don't know, it's funny because it's you, though, but it's like, dude, man, people have no chill, huh, fool?
And then another one, Lisa posted a post of us together on her page. Then some Latina girl shows up and goes, Mexicans always making white chicks. Always going to make it.
You've been with Mexican chicks. You've been with Lisa for 10 years. Where were you fucking 9 years ago with your comedy?
Yeah. Where were you at Wild Coyote? Yeah. When are you right home?
What do you look like, Kate?
She's fat.
Dude, who cares, though, dude? Give me a break. Dude, if you weren't all, like, doing anything, like, would even on the radar, would they even be mentioning anything? Come on, dude. Just hating on your ass.
I'll be Felipe the Plumber.
Dude, fuck, look at the fuck, dude. You ain't paying any money into your happiness, dude.
What's up with all the earthquake, bro? Terremoto.
That's what I'm saying. I'm over here kicking it with these two Mexicans. I missed my flight because I smoked those Louis weed joints.
Man, you got happiness on me.
And then you gave him two more. He's all, damn, this philanthropy with weed over here.
I was all happy, though.
Ah, dude. He was great, though, dog. That fool was tight, dog. Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, dude. But yeah, dude, it was a fucking great guest. Great episode, dog.
It was awesome.
Hell yeah, from beginning to end, dog. They're all great, dog.
I did a lot of press over there, man.
You've been fucking working with press, huh? Nonstop,
working,
huh?
Working, bro. I got my lies down now.
Well, how many spots you been doing? Like 4 or 5 a day, dude? Plus phone
man.
Interviews and shit?
100 probably, right? Already?
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, dog. You've been on fire since when Adam Murray was over here, man.
It's funny when you do an interview with a fan, you don't, they want to take a selfie, bro. They're holding their phone like this, like, I know you're somebody.
They want to document it in their little picture with celebs.
Oh, check this out, man.
What's up?
I went to the Houston Astros game, and it's fucking Cholo. Well, every time I see a hard Mexican, I always see the Cholo, but that fool walking in with a big-ass pet bull like the one that Dab Queen has.
Dude, inside the stadium?
Yeah!
Houston
they were,
strong.
They were stopping him. Hey, sir, where are you going with that dog? And that foot turned around and goes, it's a service dog. Service dog? Who the fuck would have serviced this motherfucker? Where's his canteen?
A sergeant in the Marines is going to serve him.
He's a service dog. What is wrong with you, sir? Nothing.
Hey, did he get in there?
Yeah.
The laws are beautiful,
nobody
dog.
Nobody stopped him,
that's
bro.
What I'm talking about.
He was
Cholo knows
fat,
his rights.
Oh, that fool weighed more than Chepo.
Dude, there's some mean-ass pit bulls out there, dog.
I saw a pet bull, bro, that was big as Aaron on here, bro. Blue eyes, too.
Oh, dude, that's fucking nuts, dude.
Nuts, man.
How's that game, good or what?
Oh, man. Fool.
What's that,
that's
bro?
Probably the best day I'm out there, dog.
Oh, are you serious?
First of all, it's 90 degrees, 98, with humidity to our side.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you get, like, within walking distance to the stadium, you can feel that cold air hitting your
are
ass.
You serious? So it's all enclosed?
It's cold in there, dude. It's AC.
Because
and at nighttime, too.
Because the original Astrodome is closed. That's a new one, right?
Yeah.
Dude. So it's all modern in there and perfect? Because that Ranger Stadium was pretty modern, too, dog.
Yeah, man. It's modern. And, fool, we got to hang out with Josh Reddick.
Oh, that fool is a Dodger, too.
Yeah.
Huh?
He hates the Dodgers.
Why, fool?
Because they traded him.
Oh, he liked L.A.,
they
dog?
They treated him bad, he said.
Oh, they did him dirty, like Eric Carroll's.
Well, he kind of slumped in the beginning, but then in the playoffs, he was batting 289.
So it went up.
Yeah. So we got to really hang out with that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Tight, really though. Hang out with him, right? So the next day, that fool went 0 for 4.
You can't go to the improv anymore, Mr. Reddick.
Shout out to Josh Reddick. And here's a homeboy. Yeah, bro, my boy grew up with him, bro.
He's his assistant, bro.
His boys grew up with everybody, huh? Enough with the boys, bro. When are you going to do something, dog? When is somebody going to say, my boy Chris? He has too many boys, bro, doing stuff. You're his boy? Yeah, bro. I'm your boy, bro.
Come on now, bro. Your mom's skinny, dog. Your mom likes me, bro, right?
That fucking pet bull is fatter than him, bro.
Oh, Wynn's going to take that little fool, though.
That fool, he wears dog clothes, dog.
Chimono. No.
For real, bro. Whenever he can put on the Barbie clothes, dog. He's so tiny, bro. And
diverticulitis, bro. It'll get you, bro.
I can't bring those big blunts to mine, bro. I don't work to them, mine, bro.
Oh, my God, dude. He is little huh? We'll see him on Saturday, though.
Fool, we're working with fucking Theo Taylor with the tightest shirt and bow tie.
He's still wearing it from the other years when he was like 20 pounds lighter,
the
dog.
The Browns.
He was wearing that cardigan,
fool,
too,
for a while. We were watching a football game, and everybody was taking a knee, and I looked over at him. He got off the couch and was taking a knee by the television, dog, in solidarity.
With his brothers.
Some people are taking a knee too far, man.
I know.
Like, somebody did the knee during a concert. If it's a concert, it's not a really, it doesn't even mean shit, eh? You're just stopping a fucking show to show a knee.
Oh, hell yeah.
The real knee is Rodrigo Torres.
Right?
The real knee, man, is when your girlfriend asks you, are you cheating on me? Then you take a knee. No, we're going to pass.
You're the only one for me.
What's up, fool?
You're live with the What's Up, Fool podcast.
Oh, my phone turned off.
What happened, dog?
It turned off. It's old, man.
With our guest, right?
Our guest right here, man. I voted for him.
An honorable guest. Yeah, we've all voted for him.
All of us, bro. This guy right here, man, our next guest, man, he was the first Latino we've seen in a cool movie since fuck.
Dude, that's probably been like the last quote since what? Born in East LA or what? Finally, somebody doing it right?
Since fuck.
Like, since back in the days.
There hasn't been a cool guy in a movie since this guy, since Miklo and Blood in Blood Out.
That are leads, eh?
Oh, yeah. And then Michael Gomez and the Big Lebowski leads. Yeah, they got it working in shifts.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, man. I ran into him at a
audition, right?
Audition, bro.
Yeah, you guys did a little video and shit, a little selfie and shit. It was tight.
Yeah, man. What time is it?
It is 12:43.
Yeah, man. So with no further ado.
No further ado.
All the way from Oak Street.
You know what time it is.
All the way from Trinity. From West Side. The West Side, bro. By the Olympic Auditorium.
Oh, wow.
By fucking...
The L.A. of Los Angeles.
He knows Don Miguel.
Really?
About those locals forever, homes.
What's up, fool? This guy been in numerous movies, but he's more famous for Nacho Libre.
That's a guest star right there. Nacho.
They call him Esqueleto. I'm just kidding. Nah, one guy.
That fool's ugly, dog.
That fool is ugly, dog.
I was Nacho. I was a little kid.
Napoleon, he was a little chubby kid. Can I buy your sweat, chonchon? What's up, fool? We have Efren right here from Efren, right? Efren, I'm white.
Efraín Antonio Ramírez Cabrón.
Efraín Antonio Ramírez Cabrón from Napoleon Dynamite. Hey, Pedro.
What's happening, dog?
What's up, fool? You look the same after the haircut.
Hold on. I got to take a knee for that.
Oh, he's taking a knee, ladies and gentlemen.
See, that's the real knee.
Right there, la rodilla.
So what's up, fool? Not only that, bro. This motherfucker my cousin.
Are you
related?
We're related, dog.
Damn.
From Chuy or your mom, dog?
Yeah, Chuy. My mom, my cousin, Selena, I grew up with her since she was a little kid. I know her mom, Patricia. She was the first woman that took me to a movie theater. She took me to see Jaws.
Get out of the water.
Yeah,
she
took me to see some other movies, bro, because I was sitting next to her and my uncle, my cousin Laura, and then she'll be over there making out with her boyfriend while I'm watching a fucking Carrie, all scared.
Hold on, man.
So I was at my cousin Selene in the West Side, because they live over there on fucking Washington in a big house, and they rent out rooms to paisas there.
But never.
And then I saw a picture of this fool, right? Yeah.
Shut up!
Yeah, dog!
You're live!
There's a picture of this fool, bro, with a fucking cake.
He was born a star.
And I said, oh, you know, vote for Pedro? Because you know me, Felipe Esparza calls people by their character on movies. I don't know their name. Hey, bro, that's fucking Starsky from Starsky and Hutch. Anyway, so his picture was right there. And he goes, yeah, man, he's a cousin of ours. He goes, really? Wow, didn't know that. Another cousin in the business.
Oh, dude. I thought. Really, dog?
And that's she goes, tight, yeah, bro. Man.
Che pariente.
She goes, Efren. All right. Who's his mom? You know, are you sure? Because you guys still live here.
It's a blood in, blood out.
So, but you grew up in East LA, right?
It's a seaway.
Yeah?
Yeah. So Boyle Heights, dog.
Boyle Heights, where
yeah,
at?
Food?
What? Yeah. 1343 Concord Street.
Oh, damn. My God. That's right. Right there by the freeway, dog.
Yeah, it's right off of Soto.
Yeah. On Concord, First Street Elementary School.
Damn, dude.
So, man, So you are related to me, but who's your mom? Who's your daddy? Is he rich like me? No.
Well, I know my mom. My daddy got three of them. And
who's your dad?
I got,
oh, three babies, mamas?
It, no. Oh. My mom is Martha, Martita, and my dad's Julio. So, and my mom's cousin is Tia Tonya. And I think that's how we're related because we got cousins and I think we're second cousins.
Your tia Tonya, so you have a cousin named Nancy?
I do.
And yeah. Wendy?
Yes, 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 yes.
Those are my cousins too, dog.
So
I love Nancy. Your tia Tonya, so your mom is related to mi tia Gata. Yeah.
I had no idea, and I know.
Yeah, they're from Tuxpan, Nayarit. That lady you're talking about, that's my mom's first cousin. Which makes us third cousin.
What?
Yeah, mi tia Tonya is my father's first cousin because my grandmother and
I'm getting goosebumps, by the way, just in case all your listeners out there.
My grandmother, who was Lucia Soto, is a sister to mi tia Tonya's mother, which is mi tia Gata, and they all grew up in Tuxpan, Nayarit.
Damn, dude. With
some. And mi tia Tonya, she had another son who passed away. His name was Andy.
Yeah.
The weather. You know, ever meet Andy?
No.
He was a crazy motherfucker, dog. he was half white, half Mexican. He was the original Miklo.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's right. That's small goddamn world.
Damn, yeah, dude.
Yeah, so, man.
Family reunion up in here, huh?
Hell yeah, bro. Our family, just to tell you a funny story, man. When we were at Selena's house, when we were little kids, they were living on Trinity. Before they moved to that house, and we're having a barbecue, bro. This fucking barbecue would last all fucking day, dog. This was before cell phones, bro. You had to make up games. My tia Flora, bro, would put a my tia Flora and her man Don Miguel. They have like a pit, and they fill it full of lard, and they let it sizzling, bro, full of lard. Then they start throwing pork in there to cook it, dog. So we're eating fucking chicharrones all day.
Yum.
They were so fucking good.
Bomb, dog.
So fresh, dog. Woo. Like they were all white, like cueritos, bro. Like,
oh, dude.
He said, no idea. Like, you never lived till you had a cheese, like a pork pot.
When it comes out of that caso, I'm telling you, it's the best stuff on earth. I don't care what anybody says.
You're throwing up over there.
I know,
dog.
I know, but I'm
even if you're vegan.
Oh my God! It is
dog.
So good.
You don't understand.
So
when you get the little, just you look
so good.
It's like a piece of fat with three lines of meat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you put it in the fat, it comes out chunky. You put in a corn tortilla with green sauce. Forget about it.
Stop, dude.
So you're making me hungry.
So we'll eat that all day. Plus, there's also carnitas being cooked too, man. They're shredding it. They're making whatever. So my mom, she puts her hand to lean on the fucking gate, right? Mm-hmm. Just to lean, right? To grab a little bird, the dog's next door, the Doberman Pinschers, gnaw her hand right away.
Shut
dog.
Up.
They gnaw her off her hand. Like, her fingers start bleeding. She's fucking crying. Everybody at the birthday party is freaking out. My fucking aunt is still moving the fucking food. ¿Qué pasó ya? Chicano pasó ya, un pinche perro.
The DJ didn't skip a beat,
so, mama had to be rushed to the hospital, dog. And they give her a bunch of stitches, and then they're in the hospital. My brother and I are trying to hit those fucking dog with rocks from the other side.
It's a rock war.
Trying to kill these motherfuckers.
You did it, my mom, motherfucker.
I remember I threw a bottle in there and it broke. The neighbors came. Fuck you and your dog, bitch.
Shut up. How old were you, dog?
I was like 8, dog.
Damn, let it out, dog.
I'm ready to kill somebody. That sucks. My mom had she had one of those finger things and stitches all over the place.
Fucking dog was hungry, huh, fool?
Still falling close for my dad. You think that my father would give a little break?
Take the week off.
No, you don't have to take the week off. No, cabrón. You still have to jerk me off with that bloody ass finger. Mexican men or that men of that generation don't give a fuck, huh?
Those fools don't cook and clean, dog.
They watch.
Hell yeah, dog.
Was your father like that? Did he cook and clean?
No. He was. He was. But my father was a mechanic. So, you know, and I grew up with four brothers. So he just taught us how to build and take apart cars. So and work on engines. It was
a technician.
A technician. You know, that was that.
Your dad used to do mechanic work under your skateboard.
I've seen that where they use their little kid skateboard to slide under the car, dog.
Yes,
if you don't have one of those little things.
That sucks. I know a fool that will stay down there forever, bro.
Oh, dude, they don't come out for nothing, huh? They send him a sandwich off of
him. I literally did. I held on to his lemonade and his cerveza and his sandwich.
I know a dude that go down and chase on a skateboard at that.
What I'm talking about.
So how did you get into acting, bro? What happened?
What's the story?
Who hurt you, bro?
The hood, dog, the hood.
The hood brought me here.
Yeah, when I was in cell block C, I was talking to this one guy named William. Growing up in Boyle Heights, things got pretty bad. So we moved to Lincoln Heights, which was about like 10 minutes away. There was Plaza de la Raza there, which is a park. And they had a recreational facility that allowed kids in the neighborhood to do theater. So my mom put my brothers and me into theater, and we started to do plays there. And even my elementary school, which was really cool. But slowly I started to get into acting and I liked it and it gave me something to do. When I went to college, I went to Cal State LA, I started to really study theater and do acting, but I really wanted to get into the business. So I went to different acting schools in Hollywood and in Santa Monica and out in the Valley. And I took the bus for like 2 hours, 3 hours just to go to auditions, just to get into school. Like a big nerd. But slowly I started to work as an actor from doing commercials into small parts in TV shows and theater and to feature films. So it you know, when Napoleon Dynamite came into my life, my life completely changed after that.
And, once it took off?
Yeah.
You auditioned for it?
Yeah. Yeah. I was working on two TV shows at the time, one called Boston Public and another one called Even Stevens. You know, with that mocoso, Shia LaBeouf. So, I ended up getting two feature film auditions. One was The Alamo and then Napoleon Dynamite. And I got both films and I asked my dad, like, what do I do? Because one was a big movie and the other one was a small independent picture. My dad said, well, you know, just, que, mijo, follow your heart, you know? And it's funny because Napoleon said. Yeah, Napoleon says that to Pedro. Follow your heart. You know, like, all right, cool. So I did that and everything changed.
And what's up with that character, dude?
Did you develop the character?
The director had done a short film called Beluca, and there were two characters by the name of Gail and Pedro. Gail spoke English, and Pedro only spoke Spanish. So he said, watch this, and I want you to put these two characters together and make your character. So, and I used to have a girlfriend who had three dogs, and one dog had been hit three times by cars because he lived on a major street. So he was a little slow, and I thought, okay, let me put my cousin and Buster Keaton and this dog together and create Pedro. And I didn't know because I thought I was going to be fired because I didn't get any notes. And when I met John Heder as Napoleon because he was in his clothes and his costume, I was like, he's like, hey, you Pedro? And I'm like, all right, cool. This might work. Yeah.
So how'd you do it, though, the voice?
Well, I started talking like this, and I wasn't so sure or something. And, you know, I remember having to go to Fox Studios, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember when I was going to go meet the director and producers, the first thing I did was I went into my father's closet, and I took his clothes.
That's what it was?
Yeah, I put on his clothes, and I went into at Fox Studios, and I'm, like, sitting down in there and, like, talking like that. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is going to work. So, you know, you kind of make your choices as an actor. And next you know, I get a phone call and my manager, my agent say, you know, you got the film for The Alamo. You got the film for Napoleon Dynamite. You know, what do you want to do? And so I chose Napoleon Dynamite. And that was that.
The Alamo would have been a smaller role, huh?
Yeah. But when you're working on a studio picture, because of such a huge cast with Dennis Quaid and Billy Bob Thornton, you know, you're under contract for like, I don't know, nearly 2 months. I thought, cool, smaller role, but for 2 months, great. You know, in Texas, why not? But because Napoleon Dynamite was such a, it was a lead role, you know, and it was a character role, I wanted to take that role, you know, and I was afraid at the time because, you know, you, I didn't know what was going to happen with my life, my career, and whatever, you know, so, so, but I took that risk, and it was that risk that, that made me who I am today.
That's bitching, dude.
That's funny, man. I always thought your voice did sound like that.
Because it's authentic, because, you know, like, good. When they do it, like, you know, they want, oh, make it more Mexican or whatever, and it sounds, like, too exaggerated.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dude that's a dude that, you know, you've seen before or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, doesn't want to do the wrong things, all one straight and narrow.
Is that when we shot in Idaho?
We shot that in, yeah, in Preston, Idaho. Damn. You know, and it's funny, because I actually have...
Did you really milk those cows?
¿Sabes qué? They milked me. What?
This fool,
that one had a pimple.
That's a badass movie,
dog.
He needs
it's
a mordida.
A badass movie, bro. I saw that movie 3 times.
Not enough.
I saw it with my by myself, on a date, and with my son.
Dude, it's like the characters and everything. Because I'm from Riverside, dude. And there's white people just like that, dog. Make yourself damn quesadilla, like nachos and shit. Fucking the food,
oh man, the worst is when Napoleon Dynamite is. They feed him that fucking horrible orange juice with eggs.
Oh,
my father, my father was Jamba Juice egg. Before Jamba Juice, bro. he was the king of licuados.
Yeah, because don't they crack an egg in it?
My father put orange juice in a fucking blender and then put two eggs in it, bro, and blend that motherfucker and then give it to us. I'm like, I want you to fry the egg. Give me orange juice.
That way,
what, Rocky, bro? He didn't even give a fuck. We could have died right there. Salmonella.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
So you did the movie, man.
Yeah.
Okay, man. I know you can't say, but at least tell us one celebrity you had sex with.
pretend
you're Howard Stern. Two, and
what?
Ain't no big deal. Dang, just so tell us one at least. Eh?
You hump on anybody?
Because I know, man. I know, man. You know, you're like the hot new thing, man.
Awful.
Everybody wants to lean on you.
A little piece, huh? Everybody wants a little taste. Piece.
Like Mario Lopez. I know he got some, bro, with that curly locks.
Fool.
Then that other dude, man, that went to school with Alfred.
Oh, Jay Hernandez.
Jay Hernandez.
Crazy beautiful.
You ain't no Jay Hernandez, bro. But you're,
yeah, he lives about 5 minutes away from me.
Tell me, said, what's up?
He's cool. We saw him at the airplane.
Yeah. Going to Chicago, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy.
I know, man, that people thought, like, maybe if I hang around Efren, I get another movie, too. I'll be in the next movie.
Recharge my career.
I remember seeing Mario at the Playboy Mansion. Yeah, with Uncle Hef.
He's buff, huh?
Uncle Hef?
Yeah.
In all places.
So, was there a party? When you went to the Playboy Mansion, was there actually an event? Was there a charity event or was there a real party?
It was a real party.
I went to a fucking charity event, bro. There were people there you didn't want to see naked, man.
That's why it's a charity event.
So, you went to the goal, like, so you're walking
through
the
road. I went to a few of the events, and one of them, I think my favorite one was the Halloween parties.
Can you get an invite?
I didn't have your number at that time. So, and I would invite all of you guys in this room.
So what happened, yeah, bro?
So, okay, so I was there, and I got to say, first of all, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I do have a twin brother, right?
It's me, it's Marchand Rizzo, right?
So, yeah, his name is Carlos, you Google that, but my twin brother... dressed up as a kissing booth, right? So, and
genius,
I...
Genius, bro.
Yeah, genius. He had a whole box around him, genius. And, you know, and it was just all marked.
Put the money in.
And I como pendejo, I end up dressing up like the crow, right?
You're humble.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm working out, going, all right, I'm going to go up as a crow, cool, why not?
Cool.
You know? I'm like, all right, you know, so, but my face is all painted. So we show up, and all the girls are like, looking at my brother going, oh my God, that's Pedro. They're all kissing now because he's got a kissing booth. And
genius,
I'm like, you know.
Bro. Oh my God.
Nobody wants to like be around me because I got a, you know, painted face.
There's his brother over there.
They go, wait, if he's famous, who are you? And I'm like, Fool. I'm just a writer, I guess.
His assistant, huh?
I don't have a twin brother, but I have fat guys who think they look like me.
In every city, huh,
bro? Every city, I have a fat guy who thinks he looks like me if stunt I get double. Into a car accident, bro.
I know!
Like, if I have beat up by... There's a lot of seven bat Bronsons out there. Seven bat Bronson? We know an ugly guy named Rick Gutierrez. Who looked like Charles Bronson? He got hit in the head with seven bats.
You used to call him Two Bat Bronson.
Two Bat Bronson. So, bro, this dude shows up, bro. I put it on my Instagram. He's just a chubby little guy with curly hair, bro. Buys a T-shirt, and then somebody before the show, hey Felipe, that's not me. Then the security guard, listen, bro, you just say it's you.
Another genius,
just
eh?
Play with it, right? So this fool buys a shirt before the show starts, puts it on, and he's hanging around by the other side, bro, greeting people, dog.
What's up, fool?
What's up, fool? With his head down, right? There was a guy there who owned a strip bar.
Oh, my God. But
he owned Ritz Strip Bar. Shout out to the owner of Ritz in Houston. That fool gave me a number, and it was, call me. I let everybody know you're coming. And then, but he showed up with strippers, bro, that were like the third, like they were like the D string.
Like, last time they played was in 09.
Yeah, like these girls were stripping in Super Bowl 10, bro. Like they were at the D squad. Like I'm gonna marry one of them. Like even a short one, like she looked like she was like Heather Graham, but now she's more like Heather Grandma. You know what I mean?
Is that the female gremlin?
Yeah. So I'm thinking that. So I always think that. But then think about it. The owner wouldn't show up with the pretty ones. They're working. They're making money.
Making that
so
cheap.
He's right here with D Squad, and they're all sisters.
Damn.
So this fool is goes, I'm taking photos. Bro, go grab that chick, dog. So this fool goes over there, and the girl grabs his face and motorboats him, bro.
Oh, my God.
So he's walking around like Felipe stunt double, grabbing everybody, bro. Hilarious, dog. Oh. Hilarious. He goes, I'm not going to a strip bar, but he might go. we don't want him. Yeah.
The double D
that
string.
One was an ex. She don't strip no more, but they were all strippers that one time. They were all strippers that one time.
Little back brace, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys from Star Wars.
She's at the bar.
Icky wicky.
Dude. That's funny, dude.
Yeah, man. So this fool's all over those chicks.
Fool had a ball, huh?
Ball. And then I told him, what, are you going with him? Nah, man, I might get in trouble, eh? Oh, you married, dog? What are you doing here?
I'm taking a break from work
the
right
stunt
now.
Stunt double needs a stunt double.
Dude, that's
yeah,
comedy.
Man. So that fool, it was a C-Squad. So what's up, fool? So you did the movie.
Yeah.
And I saw... the actor, Uncle Rico, what's his name?
Oh, Jonathan Grice.
Yeah, and he was, you were in a band with him, right?
Yeah. Well,
play harmonica?
He's, in between working in films, I meet a lot of actors, and a lot of actors are actually either band members or they're DJs. So, and because I've played harmonica for years, a lot of bands will ask if I could go up on stage with them and play my harmonica, which is cool. I've actually performed over at the Greek Theater with a bunch of other actors, and you know, it was great. You kind of go up there in front of thousands of people, and you're like, "Wow, this is cool." Yeah, it's fun.
Oh yeah, dude.
So, how long you been playing harmonica? How'd you get into that?
I think my mom had gone down to Mexico, and then she came back. She gave me a harmonica, and when I was in high school, and I was the quiet kid who sat in the back, you know, and. Like just you know, the big nerd. So and I would play my harmonica, you know, during lunchtime, and I think there was a moment when I would take the bus and I'd be waiting for the bus, and I'd just play my harmonica because you can't walk around with a piano, right?
No.
So
bus driver shows up, man. Where's that little kid with that harmonica?
So that was that, and I started to play my harp, and through years, my neighbor was from the South, and he taught me how to play harmonica, and he introduced me to different kind of music, from, you know, from Chicago blues to Southern blues to straight harp, cross harp, and since then I've just been playing.
You got some harmonica right now?
I don't. I
you're like a little cherub, huh?
I
don't have one. I would have brought one if I would have known.
Oh,
I know you're a DJ though, right?
Yeah.
You've been DJing for a while, huh?
My older brothers used to be DJs. All over Lincoln Heights and Boyle Heights, so and I'd be like a, you know, the little kid carrying crates of records, you know, and just all old school stuff. So, and I remember having to mix like LL Cool J or right along with Depeche Mode. Oh, and my brother was like, dude, you don't do that. You don't mix hip hop with new wave. And I'm like, why not?
Mixing genres over here.
Yeah, you can't. You can't cross Janet Jackson with The Cure. Don't do that. And I'm like, what? So part of it is, even before Napoleon Dynamite, I used to do a lot of raves in Los Angeles. I knew Pasquale and Reza, the guys who do EDC, and they taught my friends and me how to do events. And the idea was to create electronic music, and mix that with techno and new wave and create something new. But so downtown Los Angeles, there was a club called The Orion, and my friends and I would do all these raves. And it was great because we started having about, like, I don't know, 10,000 people, and grew to about 25,000 people, and it was just getting bigger. But at that very moment, that's when I ended up booking Napoleon Dynamite. So it was a choice to either do raves or work as an actor. And so I chose the latter. Nonetheless, you know, around that time, a lot of celebrities would make appearances at clubs and just say hi to people. And I thought, I mean, I could do that, but I love DJing. I love being able to go on the decks and mixing different genre music and let people feel that vibe. And it became where I became a celebrity DJ, and I started to DJ all over the world. And it was just a remarkable, because there's some places where it saw hip hop, but they want old school, or they want top 40, or they want the underground electro Dutch house, you know. And it's just great because it becomes about the music and not about me.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. It's tight. Man, when you made that grow that cake, bro. In that movie, I made the same cake at home, bro.
Fucking trash.
And I ate it by myself.
It's the trash.
He leaves it right there on the doorstep and takes off of him.
I ate it.
And then he dresses up as the girl. Yeah. And he's like, thank you.
That was hilarious, dog. Oh. They only show the cake and your boots running in.
Dude.
I love cake in movies, bro. Cake and pies, too. Those two cholos in that movie, are they from L.A.?
They're actually from Logan, Utah, which is about like 20 Damn. Minutes south on the borders of Idaho and Utah.
They never acted before, yeah. Huh?
Never acted before at all. And then actually, you know, the director and one of the cinematographers were actually shopping down at Kmart in Logan. And they're just getting more wardrobe for us because it was such a low-budget project, yeah. Dude. Yeah, there are moments when I had to buy my own lunch, or I bought lunch for everyone. So
tater tots, bro.
That was that, dude. Yeah. Don't eat the set food because we got to eat that later. So they saw those guys just shopping, and they're like, "Hey, you think those guys can play the Pedro's cousins?" And then they approached him. And they said, "Yeah, cool, Holmes." So and that's how they end up getting into the movie.
They're probably fucking famous in Logan.
Right? Oh, fuck, blowing it up, huh? I tore up Summer Wheatley, Holmes.
they had no life, but you look cool.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Was that their car?
That car belonged to some other homies down in Logan who didn't get along with the actual homies.
Damn.
They're like rivals, but it was cool because they're in the movie, you know? So it was weird.
That's crazy, man. I go to Utah a lot, but not in that area. I go to where do we go? Where'd you go?
Salt Lake.
We go to Salt Lake City, and we go to West Valley.
Well, I've never been to West Valley.
West Valley and Salt Lake City, they're next to each other. A lot of Samoans over there. I'm surprised they didn't put a Samoan in that movie.
The directors, they're from Utah, right?
They're from Utah.
He's Mormon.
And the small town, Preston, Idaho. But they all went to BYU, you know.
Brigham Young.
Yeah, Brigham Young. You got to bring them young. What? So that's where they're from. And they actually, I mean, when they did the short film, they did it for $700 and entered the Slamdance Film Festival. They won the audience award, and then they wrote the feature film. And when all the studios read the script, they were like, what is this? And nobody wanted to rep them. And because of that, they raised the money themselves and did the film. And it was at the time when digital wasn't up to par to where it is now. So everything was shot on film. So we would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and go, all right, we have one take. Okay, we got to move on. So we really had to...
What was the budget of the movie?
Yeah.
I know you got paid grilled cheese, right?
I got less than that.
budget style.
It was good luck, bro.
Was the budget for was John Heder, what's the name of the director?
Jared Hess.
Jared Hess, was this movie like a big budget?
No, that, I mean...
He did it with at least less than a million, right?
Yeah, it was about like $400,000.
Wow, but he made a lot of money, huh?
It made over $45 million, and the with merchandise, week? Merchandise alone was over $300 million.
Damn.
Yeah. Were you in a cartoon also?
We did the cartoon.
You did the voice, right?
Yeah.
We used to watch that shit every week. My stepson loved that shit. But mom, yeah, they only show four.
Yeah, the cartoon was, I mean, it was great. It was being able to, the fact that the studios wanted to have us together, all together, and do the animated series. I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, it's something that it has a cult following. When I do Comic-Con every once in a while, I see John and it's amazing. You see, last time I did that, I was in Toronto and I saw this kid who was dressed up as Hellraiser. He's like 7 years old, you know, with all these, you know, pins on his face and everything. He was like, Pedro, can you sign this? I'm like, whatever you want, dude. Sure.
Pedro, can you sign this? Get me to the dojo.
Yeah, yeah. So,
fucking pinhead.
It's such an awesome feeling to be able to be a part of a cult classic.
That's cool, man. Fuck especially a cult classic where the movie actually made money.
Oh, yeah, dude.
There's some movies out there who are cult classic, didn't make nothing, like Half-Baked. We had the guy from that movie over here. They didn't make nothing. After that movie aired, nobody wanted to talk to him.
Oh, my God.
What you got going next?
Well, it's after Napoleon Dynamite, it's been, like I said, everything changed. So I'll do about two projects a year. And I read a lot of scripts, you know, and I like really playing different things. I got to say, after that, I had done a film called Crank with Jason Statham. And I played a transvestite. And get this, I got my agent got a whole bunch of letters from different religious organizations saying, how dare I play a transvestite, you know, when, you know, Pedro was such an honored character. And I'm like, well, I'm an actor, right?
It's a different movie, stupid.
Let's give him a little kneel.
They're making you to a chick now, dog.
Oh, my God, dude. Nobody's happy, huh, dog?
You can't satisfy everyone, you know?
You can, bro.
Look what happened to Jesus Christ.
I kill it. Yeah, so...
Jesus was taller.
I have a film called Varsity Punks that's actually airing in New York right now, and it just won the Audience Award. And then I have a film that's produced by Terrence Malick, heavy drama that comes out this month. A film I produced with Blumhouse is actually in Spain at their film festival. So I'm leaving to Spain, London, and Moscow. I'll be in Russia, dude. and I just finished coming back from Canada working on a show. But my brain is always working on different worlds and different scripts.
You ever got a development deal for your own show on television yet?
I never thought of that. I mean,
why not? I mean, they gave me one.
Yeah, I think it's because I've been working on so many different other projects. And when I work on characters, you know, I really try making every character I play unique and different. And a lot of the characters that I play tend to come back on many shows. But I started to really think like, I mean, I work as an actor and I work as a producer. But I never thought, well, what if I wanted a show or a film, what would I want to create? And it was only up to now, like this year, to go, oh, wait, I want to do this now, and approaching different studios. Because as a producer, I start to think, well, how far can I go? How far can I take it? And because there's so many revenues and so many outlets in regards to different media to create your own content, I want to create something that's so grand and something that'll stand out, that'll appeal to all audiences. So,
yeah, your character stood out in Napoleon Dynamite, but also when my wife and I watched the show, we noticed that the movie carries like a tone through the whole movie. Like everybody speaks the same kind of tone, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's like almost like it's a play, but like whatever the voice is of the director, you can just see it in everybody, the way they talk. Nobody really loud, crazy. Everybody's calm. Like, you know what it feels like. Everybody's really high when they talk. Because even on the bowling, he's slow. His girlfriend is slow, the one you asked to dance. And then even everybody.
Chill tempo.
Chill.
When I talked to Snoop Dogg, he was like, hell yeah, Pedro. You know, I every time I watch a movie, I get high. And I'm like, cool.
He doesn't call you nephew?
Yeah.
Yo, nephew.
So, it's the tone of the writing in this story. And then actually, it was like when I went to Preston, Idaho, a lot of people who were and still are like that. You know, one of the characters I really find interesting is Lyle. Do you remember Lyle?
He's the one bully
who, guy. Who, you know, who weds him at the end.
The bully guy, right? Yeah.
No, no, he's not. He's the guy who kind of talks like this. You know, about the arrowheads.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that guy sticks out to me all the time. Bogonero over there, by the woodchuck over there, lava chuck. Was that a real guy?
Yes.
That's him?
Yes.
That's no care. That's him.
See, I thought I was the only one that thought that guy was weird, because he's like talking to himself while they're eating horrible sandwiches. And like, it's like it got nothing to do with the movie. They just go to him and he's eating a sandwich. You know, I found an arrowhead over there, brother.
There's men like him in Mira Loma, dude.
He actually got, there was a.
He's not an actor either, right?
I got to tell you, he.
That's my checkbook.
He's fought death several times.
You can tell.
Moment
though.
He was on a tractor, and something happened. I don't know. He ended up falling off, and the tractor went over him.
It was like that scene in Footloose, yeah. But this one really crashed.
That's right. And he ended up cutting his face, and he was holding his face as he was bleeding. And he ran into his house and went to his wife, and they took him to the emergency room down to the
lip.
Other state. Yeah, so that guy, you know, he's survived death, man.
The fool I like is Rex Kwon Do, dog. So,
Rex Kwon Do, Dietrich Bader, who's got a new show on Family Home.
He's on ABC. Sometimes too.
That's right. another brilliant character actor.
Fool's bad.
Yeah,
he's badass. In Office Space. So, you're directing? You ever thought about directing or writing your own movie?
No, I'm writing now. I'm writing two feature films. But I'm always reading scripts. I'm traveling a lot, and whether I'm DJing or doing charity events, or working on projects, you know, it's tough because I'm very committed, you know. But there's also the other part of there's a life of an actor of having to create the project and be a part of projects. But then there's the humanitarian part, which is really getting involved with communities and everything that's going on with the world. Which because right now everything's pretty crazy. So in between, I talk to colleges. I go to colleges and I talk to students, or I go to high schools and I talk to students. I think that's something that I remember being, you know, from Lincoln Heights, you know, and people would go to my school and talk about you could do just positive messages. And I'm thinking, you know what, if I can do that too, then hell yeah, dude. It's just been a trip being able to be in that position now.
You're always busy, man. When do you have time to smoke a joint?
When he's at the Playboy Mansion.
Sativa or Indica? Let me know.
I'm more into a hamburger joint, having a good hamburger.
After smoking, right?
Give me that. What's little harmonica.
So your mother, where is she from? She's from Nayarit?
My family is divided because my mom, she literally has about 12 brothers and sisters. So, you know, and in Salvador, everything had been so chaotic in the 60s and in the 80s because of all the revolution and the, you know, guerrilleros and all that. And she mentioned that one of my uncles is a rebel. I'm thinking, she goes, so if you go down there, you might either get kidnapped or shot. And I'm like, wow. All right. You know, and I got primos in Mexico, you know, DF. So when the earthquake happened, I was like, all right. I hope they're okay. So, thank God. Everyone's cool. But you know, when you mentioned earlier about the families getting together and all the comida, and I was like, because I remember that, and I would have a lot of tías and tíos, a lot of aunts and uncles, and I would hear so many different accents and dialects, and I wouldn't know if I say perro or chucho, or do I say espérate güey or espérate vos. You know, there's so many different accents, and I was like, I didn't know. Now, as an actor, as I'm getting older and playing these different roles. I could play so many different characters now. I'm like, wow, all right, cool. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dog.
So, did your brother get into acting too? Or was the only one?
We did a lot of theater, you know, but once I graduated high school, my brother, my twin brother ended up going to the military. He joined the Air Force for about 8 years. Then I had a little brother who was in the Army for about 4 years. And and then after Napoleon Dynamite, they both wanted to get into acting, you know. But we all know it's like you can't just get in it. You can't just jump on the boat, right? You gotta you know, school yourself, son.
Yeah, it takes time.
Know,
yeah.
A lot of people get into comedy too, man.
I think it's that overnight success, huh?
Why? When do I get paid? Never, bro. You suck.
I'm going to start headlining it.
Why not?
Yeah, if you can do it, I can do it, right?
Like, first of all, man, you're starting at 45. By the time you make it, you're going to be 65. There's a lot of old actors already. They don't need your old ass. I'm going to do it. Write your jokes and give them to me, and I'll do them. What would you tell a young guy that wants you to get into acting, like a young kid?
Theater. School. Theater? You know, like Eddie almost told me. I remember I was doing I remember doing a film with Paul Rodriguez, and it was an independent film, and he was like, yeah, I was just, like three blocks over, you know, and there was Eddie Olmos, and I just talked, I'm like, you know, the Latin Godfather? Can I talk to him? And he was like, well, let me just make a phone call and see what happens. So, you know, and so he was like, yeah, go down, go say hi to him. I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm like, he's in the trailer, and knock on the door. Door opens, like, gracefully, oh, and I'm like, oh, Mr. Olmos. Yeah. He's like, yeah, what is your name? And I'm like, mom, my name is Efren Ramirez, and I'm working on a movie with Paul Rodriguez, and he plays my dad. And are you going to school? I'm like, yes. You going to college? Yes. So, and he told me, stay in school, educate yourself, read a lot, do plays, do theater, cover on it. If this is what you want to do, then do it. And I went with that. And then years later, after Napoleon Dynamite, I did a film called Walkout that he directed with Alexa Vega and Michael Pena.
Michael Pena from Chicago.
Yes, right. That's right. And I saw, and I was like, dude, because of you, you know, there's been a number of years that I've met so many great people who have inspired me to say, you know what, just keep doing it. You're going to suck. It's okay. Right. I mean, we've had those times. I go to auditions. I'm like, I walk out going, what the hell did I just do?
I just met my cousin.
I just met my cousin.
Hey, me and we were in the same audition, bro.
Nobody wants to suck.
Bro, we took over the audition, bro.
Dude, that was
twice.
Sick. Oh, my God.
We auditioned twice.
It was so much fun.
We auditioned by ourselves. Then we auditioned together as brothers, as cousins. Then auditioned alone, bro.
That's badass.
Because they were looking for two cousins.
It was amazing. That's so much fun going through that. Oh, my God, in that room.
I didn't get it.
They had no idea. I think they went with two guys who are older than us.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that I like being able, and I'm surprised I haven't worked with you.
Never.
You know, it was so much fun. And I think they had no idea of how far we could take these characters. Which after that, I was like thinking, wait, how come I've never done anything with Felipe? You know, it's like, you know, I blame you. You always
blame my agents. Give me a development deal, they're never going to get picked up.
Bandido.
Yeah, man, I had a development deal last year for ABC.
Yeah.
And they didn't decide to shoot a pilot. We're going to go with Fox next year. And we had, like, it all, man. But it's okay, man. Paul Rodriguez got turned down, too. Angela Johnson, Gabriel Iglesias. But we're still going to.
It happens.
But those five Latino shows up for grabs, and they turned them down. But next year, we're going to have 20. You can't tell them no forever.
It'd be cool, man.
That's right. That's right. Just keep standing.
And I think you just stay positive, man. A lot of people say, well, they're not going to give us anything. Of course they're not going to give you anything. You got to earn everything. But you got to meet the right people, man. Stay quiet. Don't talk shit behind people's back.
Oh, hell yeah.
One thing I learned, man, if you're going to talk shit about somebody, make sure the other person starts talking shit first. And make sure it's somebody that everybody agrees that we don't like. Right, Doc?
Be a one-man fight, huh? You in the mirror?
Mom, bro. Have you ever met like somebody in a business that you said this guy was mean?
Yeah, there was. I want to say mean. It was just, I was
Tom
flying.
Get out my
got back that was taller.
Tom Cruise is all right. He's a cool guy, actually. You know, I got to say, you know, William Shatner.
Fuck William Shatner.
William Shatner. You know, here's the reason why. Because I was flying from the East Coast back into L.A., you know, with the guy who played Kip, Aaron Rule, and he was a big fan.
Love Kip, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And so I was like, you know, there I am, you know, and he was like, dude, that's William Shatner. I'm like,
Kip is a big Star Trek fan?
Yeah, he is. Hardcore. Of course.
Kip.
Of course.
Hey there, William. Oh, no autograph, hurry.
So yeah, and so we said hi to William, and I said, yeah, we're both actors. He was like, yeah, we're both actors, big fan. And he just turned him down, dude.
Shut up,
dissed
dog.
Him. I thought, like, what? You can't do that to my homie. Like, really? I love Star Trek. Come on. The Trouble with Tribbles. I love that.
Should have stabbed you know? Your harmonica.
Chink. You know, so next you know, we get on the plane, right? And you know, we're sitting in the second row, and guess who's sitting next to me?
Who?
Captain Kirk.
You know? Fucking Captain Kirk.
So I'm like...
And Shut up, dog. The whole flight, dog?
So I'm looking at Aaron, and Aaron's kind of like holding me down. He's like, don't say anything. I'm like, dude, I can't. Somebody pulls my friend down.
Suto.
Yeah. Boy, if you put me down, I don't care. But if you put my friend down or bring him down, nah, I'm going to say something. So I'm like, you know, we're getting ready. And, you know, the flight attendants are all excited the fact that, you know, they got Star Trek and Napoleon Dynamite. They're like, wow, this is so great. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. I go, hey. So, they go, so that's strange. You know, if we have the captain sitting next to us, so who's going to fly the plane? And then his face just got red.
Shut up.
And I'm
dog.
Like, all right. I'm like, and then Aaron's like cracking up, but he knows. Like,
Star Trek too.
Yeah.
Fucking old man ain't having it, huh, dog?
And I'm like, so I go over to him because Aaron is sitting right by the window. And I'm like, hey, so I reach out to him and I look out the window. I go, hey, I think there's a gremlin on the wing. And then.
Oh, hilarious.
This fool.
Twilight
his
zone.
Assistant was like, I don't find that funny.
He wasn't even talking, dog.
Oh, I would have said, listen, bro, God. I'm Mexican. TJ Hooker.
Damn it.
I would have said that, bro. Look at TJ Hooker.
I just want to know if his stomach's soft or hard, dog.
Is it hard like Joey Coco?
Right.
I think it's both.
He's so short or tall.
Sard? Sard? Hoft.
Does his hair come with a zipper? What a dear car.
You know, it's like just don't be. Here's the rule.
He's over right? It.
Rules
huh,
are don't be mean. Don't diss people.
Fucking kid in the back all sad.
I know. With his little mustache.
With his time travel machine.
Yeah, don't be a fool.
So his face got red.
Mm-hmm.
And you're flying Southwest.
I don't know.
So that fool
the Enterprise
first class, huh?
So
Captain Kirk, was that in first class? Fucking Captain Kirk. I always thought he was mean. He looked mean.
Yeah.
Looks like one of those guys, get off my lawn. Yeah.
He probably gets mad because you guys said you're actors and Star Trek was not much of an acting role, bro.
I get it. Maybe he was Gonzalo that day. Maybe he was just tired, overwhelmed. Who knows? Maybe he was missing Spock. I don't know. So, but. Because I've been in that situation. We've all been there. You know, at the airport, you just want to be left alone. You're tired. You're like, oh, my God, I just want to sleep. I get it. You know, I understand. But that doesn't mean it's okay to be a jerk. That doesn't mean that you don't be mean.
Especially
mean people suck.
Bro.
Huh.
Yeah, especially
the
kid.
That was the only movie he had.
Yeah.
I love you in the Expedia commercials. Oh, my God.
Your mom goes And I got to tell you guys, you know, after Napoleon Dynamite, all the actors started to work. We all started to work in different projects. The actor played Kip. He's actually a director. He directs a lot of commercials. Yeah, you know, so did Jared Hess. You know, we were always working in the business. You know, because people wonder, like, so whatever happened to all of you guys? You know, what's going on? But we're always so so busy. And if I could, for me, there are a lot of actors who keep playing the same roles, and that's exactly who they are. For me, if I could hide behind all these characters, then cool.
Hell yeah.
You know,
dude.
And Aaron Rule, him and his wife is an editor. So, and he's been working in commercials nonstop for years.
Really, dude?
So, you know, so we've been very fortunate. All of us, we've been very lucky and fortunate and grateful to what has happened to us. You know, and if you could entertain the audience worldwide, then, you know, it's great.
That's what's up, dude.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to La Fonda?
Ah, La Fonda. I loved her.
She's in my top 10.
Chandrelle.
Yeah, dog.
Chandrelle.
What?
She was on a TV show. A few TV shows, actually. She on the O channel. I don't know if the O channel, does that still exist?
Yeah.
She was on a TV show on that, and she works as a character actress on different shows and different films. Yeah.
Fans ask you?
What?
I don't want one of them, but crazy fans that email you. Hey, bro, how come there never a part two, eh? You get that?
All the time. Just recently. All the time. All the time.
How come you didn't spin off, bro? The adventure of the Patriot.
I bet you I can throw that football over them mountains.
There was a talk, actually, of wanting to make a sequel a couple of years afterwards. And there was also a talk about making a prequel on how they all got together. You know, the fact that, you know, John Heder, Napoleon is hunting for wolverines and Kip doing cage fighting and Pedro crossing, you know, the Grand Canyon with them, you know, how he ended up getting to Preston, Idaho. So, oh,
yeah, Uncle Rico, man, waiting to go in. Yeah. Man, the coach would have just
picked me up. Taking it, taking it. Yeah, so.
How about the grandma, bro? She flew off, bro.
The sand dunes.
Yeah, Sandy Martin.
What's she doing in the sand dunes?
Fucking kicking ass, dog.
What a wonderful actress. Yeah,
oh, and then, dude, you know, she's badass,
but even,
dude.
But even to Tini Majorino, you know, from Waterworld and Karina. They're all actors.
Oh, it's exceptional cast, dude.
Yeah. So when it was like, even when I came on board, I was like, okay, what am I doing? You know, God, all right, cool. And they were just so remarkable as the characters that they played.
With the guy recognized everywhere, they expect you to talk that way. You don't sound like Pedro in real life.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I wrote a book in going to universities and colleges and talking to the students, some universities, the first thing I would say is, this university would never accept me as a student. But here I am teaching you guys about theater history and film history and acting. Great. It's such a surprising thing, because when I start talking to them, they're like, oh, wow, he's doesn't really speak like Pedro. Should I have?
Well, Gino don't speak like this in real life, bro. He's not serious. Big words.
Big words.
It's a juxtaposition.
He don't say yeah, man. He says yes, man.
Yeah. Or yes, ma'am.
Pardon, man.
Don't call me ma'am. Sorry,
he doesn't
ma'am.
Say what's up. He says, say, what's what is up? Happening?
What is happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
What's going on, bro?
What's up, fool? Where can people reach you at on the social media?
They can find me on Instagram. You know, it's the real dot, you know, Efren Ramirez, because I recently started the Instagram. I'm always, you know, buried in my work, whatever, like a big nerd. But I finally, you know, I did a show with Rob Lowe and Fred Savage, and Rob's like, hey man, you got an Instagram? And I'm like, not really. He goes, you should get one. You know, there's a statue of Napoleon, right, in the box lot. I go, oh yeah? He goes, yeah, it's got a T-shirt with your name on it. I go, oh, is it say Efron? He goes, no, it says Pedro. And yeah, you should get it. You know, you should get. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? Say it.
When I was on Last Comic Standing in 2010, yeah. I won the show, but on one of the shows, I wore a Vote for Felipe shirt because I want people to vote for me to win.
Oh, man.
And they did vote for me and win. But I went to go do a show in, like, Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I get there.
Allentown. Yeah. I know that place.
And I'm
yeah.
in the front row. There's this old white couple. They're, like, 62 years old.
Yeah.
And they made their own Vote for Felipe t-shirts.
Wow, that's love.
That was love. Hell yeah. I felt like you, bro. I thought I made it.
Love and creativity.
What's so fool? One of the most iconic roles ever. Like, nobody's going to ever forget that, bro. It's big, man. And every time a Mexican-American has a role, it's so memorable, bro. You forget it because we don't have that many.
I know, man.
Even if the guy's not Mexican, we remember it, huh? Yeah, he wasn't Mexican, but he looked Mexican, eh? Charlie Sheen.
They all look the same.
Eli Wallach, dude.
Eli
Wallach from fucking The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. My dad had me convinced he was Mexican, bro. No, Mexicano, he's from Spain. Find out he's Jewish, from the Bronx.
Yeah, like, what?
Ricardo Montalban.
He played that role good, man. That's how deep you get into a role when you get into it.
Yeah. I mean, but there's some roles that are harder than others. You know, last year I did a play, a very heavy drama. And
so in a relationship. All right.
It's about this guy who's, I feel like weird, like, just telling you guys. It's about this guy who's totally into his sister. What? So you guys look like, that's so
you're
normal.
Playing a, you're playing a white role.
So.
He's from Allentown.
Nah, and it was Billy Juan.
So it was a very, really difficult play, you know. And I think my last week I couldn't open myself to the character or to the other actor and to the director and producers and even the audience. It was so intense, and I just had to let it go. But that led me to do a pilot for TNT called Monsters of God, and it was a Civil War piece. And my character was half Hispanic and half Native American. He was half Comanche. So, and I had to learn a new language for that. And the intensity of some roles that I play are can be extreme. You know, so I understand, like, a lot of actors who do so much work and so much prep work to get in it, it is very extremely important to remember that you have to find a way out. If not, you know, you go crazy. So
you're making out with your sister afterwards?
I don't have any sisters. Thank God,
sister.
My true brother. They put a wig on.
Ah, gross. So
with that dress, I like.
Bro, could you put in that kiss and hit a dress that don't fit?
So you know, I Eli Wallach, to be able to play that role, and awesome, he was just amazing, like amazing. And you know, I remember Ricardo Montalban when he played he played a Japanese character, you know, in a film with Marlon Brando, and he was amazing. Another you know, if an actor can really immerse himself into the role and play it honestly and truthfully, then great. Then I you know, kudos to him. Great.
Yeah.
But if it's not convincing, you kind of go like, not really. No.
Because Brando played Pancho Villa, right? In Viva Zapata.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good.
And then Anthony Quinn played.
She should have given it to Anthony Quinn.
Star power.
You know? Man. Yeah, Anthony Quinn. And I get it. You know, I get. All right. Pero sabes que no. Brando, no. I mean, I love Brando's work.
Oh, yeah.
Pero,
yeah.
¿Sabes qué? Mira. No. No, Zapata, no.
Sabe like Godfather Pancho on that one. You come here in the day of my daughter, quinceañera.
What cool master could my burrito?
What's up, fool? Rodrigo, anything to add?
No, that's it, man. Just that whole thing on the character, dude. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, no, man.
There's primo right here.
Because I go to read auditions, bro. Not even. I just read them in 1 hour, bro. Maybe So they're going to want me, they're going to want me. But most of the time, they don't want me.
I sound like Jay London. Huh?
Tell me next. Just so you know, you did a horrible job. Thank you. You did an awesome job. Thank you. Come again. What's up, fool? Efren Martinez in the house.
Martinez.
Ramirez.
I thought you said Efren Martinez.
No, Efren. No, it's Efren Esparza.
You have your little Efren Ramirez network on YouTube too, no?
Do I? Yeah. Oh, I do. I have no.
Yeah. Like, damn, is that shit fake? Sorry, dog.
There's like the. I know there's a fan page for, you know, Facebook, and there is a Twitter. It's me, but it's just I'm really trying to get more on the social media, but I really. I find it more effective to be able to go to high schools and talk to students directly. If I go to colleges, universities, and I talk to students directly about what's going on with the world.
In the flesh. You know?
And yeah, and if I can move people in such a way, in an entertaining way with films, then hell yeah, dude. From TV shows to movies, and if you do something positive that brings light to the planet that's so dark at this very moment, you know, then yeah, sure.
What's up, fool? HBO special this Saturday at 10 o'clock. My HBO special premieres.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And I got 5 billboards, by the way, that I just seen 2 of them.
Hell yeah.
Never had a billboard in my life.
Fucking shit's tight, dog.
I can't wait till my mom was here. Mira, this guy used to pee in his pants. How look at me now.
Ah, this one.
Well, so thank you, Efren, for being a guest on the show.
Hell yeah, my pleasure, man.